Well, hello, everyone. My name is Robert Davis, and I welcome you to Frontier Theater. Actually, this is the maiden voyage of Frontier Theater, and a voyage that is about the timeless, but most importantly, it's about the presence of now. And joining me today on this maiden voyage is an individual that's a visionary, a futurist, an author, an experiencer, and an emissary from a positive future. Nicola Christie. Her first published book, 2012, A Clarion Call, Your Soul's Purpose in Conscious Evolution. Irvin Laszlo stated, the most remarkable spiritual book on this or any other subject that I've ever read. Barbara Marx Hubbard stated, Nicola Christie is our guide through this evolutionary world shift, one of the best I have encountered. She's written several other books, which will be available on our website as far as namesakes. Nicola is on her current book with a working title, Love God and Everything. She's the founder of the World Shift Movement. And I suppose, to me, some of her important energy is reflected in the next statement. Her work is founded upon three fundamental principles of psychological integration, conscious evolution, and spiritual awakening. With an evolutionary trajectory towards self-awareness, self-awakening, self-realization, self-actualization, and self-transcendence, the directive of her work is personal transformation for global evolution and inner peace for world peace. Welcome, Nicola.
Welcome. Thank you, Robert, for inviting me. It's an absolute joy and pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you.
Well, Nicola, these times call for, I feel, at least calling forth the immediacy for action. In action in the most allowing way, the most peaceful way. How do you characterize this moment in the context of the opportunities that are now presented?
Well, my own take on it is that, and I know many people have exactly the same take, that yes, we are in a time of profound crisis, but at the same time, we're in a time of profound opportunity. You know, we are at a point on the timeline of humanity, on the evolutionary trajectory of humanity, that we've never been on before in the history of humanity. Yes. Because even some people may say yes, but then there was Lemuria and there was Atlantis and there was the Golden Age and so forth. But we probably at that point hadn't been through and ever faced what we're facing now. We don't know, we weren't there, but you know, there's that sense that the state we are in right now, the crisis we're in right now, it's a first for humanity at this level of our journey. So my sense is that I see things in psychosynthesis, which is the discipline of psychotherapy that I trained in. Assagioli, Roberto Assagioli, who was the founder of it, an amazing, amazing man, he always spoke about bifocal vision. And that's where we see the reality of what's going on in the here and now. But we are also always holding a higher vision, a higher context, a greater understanding of the bigger picture of what we're facing as a humanity. So I think as a global society, we are at one level in terms of that, the bifocal vision, which is the here and now reality as a global society, and obviously as an ecosystem, a physical ecosystem. But at another level, we are in a completely different time frame in terms of what we're actually dealing with right now. So I kind of look at it through two lenses. On one lens, and I don't go into fear because I have this sense that we are exactly where we need to be as a humanity. So no matter how difficult it looks out there, this is where we're supposed to be right now in our own conscious evolutionary journey as a global collective. So I often feel and sense that humanity in the last 2000 years, for example, has been moving through a younger phase of its psycho-spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of been infancy and toddlerhood and young childhood. We're in our adolescence really now as a global society. But my sense is we're beginning to come out of adolescence. We're really around 18, I'd say between 18 and 21 years of age, as a global collective, at a conscious evolutionary level. And so my sense is that we are in a time of great initiation. And yes, it really is. That's the title, the original title of my first book, 2012, A Wake Up to Humanity. And my publisher changed to Your Soul's Purpose in Conscious Evolution. But it was such a powerful moment in 2012 that we are in a wake-up call. I can see, would you like to say something, Robert?
No, it's just, it's that element of that stimulus for that initiation, that process for the soul in the variations of strata of soul we see incarnating on the planet. And, you know, to develop the expeditious route to maturation, or I suppose we have to look at it as harmonics versus any particular hierarchy of understanding that would basically allow a soul to understand exactly what you just said. But yet there are so many souls that for some reason, in reference to perhaps their karma or their deep socialization, spiritual nature, understand a certain level. It's where the Ken Wilber meme system between red and turquoise, the enneagrams, looking even in astrological systems, human design, you know, all the differentiations. So how can this message that is so vital and so clear to my heart be, I suppose, dressed so as to be attractive and to be able to be consumed by the different soul types on the planet enough so that we can mobilize the spirit and basically advance the collective cause?
Robert, I feel we're doing it already.
Yeah.
We know that 100 years on this planet, 200 years, 500 years is but a blink of an eye. Yes. In the bigger overall beyond reality that is home in capital letters. And of course, we know time doesn't exist at that level. But what feels like, you know, a long curve for us of transition is literally that in terms of spirit time, spiritual time. So we're already doing it. We've started, we're growing, we're a movement for sure.
Yes.
And the events like 5G,
yes,
which are huge movements growing around now, YGIG and all the other things that we're confronting that are assaults, if you like, on humanity and nature, the natural world of which we are an integral part.
Yeah.
Me, these are the wake-up calls.
Yeah.
You know, so 5G in a way, you know, again, through the bifocal vision, the here and now reality, it's an absolute nightmare. But from the higher perspective, like the broader vision at a soul level, if we kind of look at the here and now reality as the personality level of the collective, and we look at the, in quotes, higher level as in the soul level, I always talk in my own work about aligning the personality with the soul and not the other way around. Because in a way, I just need to get that message off my screen, because in a way, people unconsciously have been trying to drag the soul down to the level of the personality, which is why we live in this kind of personality, kind of saturated global environment. So when we are aligning personality with soul, I almost feel like the whole agenda that we're facing right now, with all these things I've mentioned, 5G, Y-gig, chemtrails, fracking, you know, trying to block out the sun, all the things I've mentioned on the video on worldshift.earth. To me, this is the personality level. This is the unintegrated adolescent, if you like. Yeah. And we're on this threshold crossover now of moving into a much more soul expression.
Yes.
And so I think there's this great wave of beings here like ourselves, and millions more like us, who are already beginning to move this, but it's going to take time. Yes, to some degree, we don't have time to waste.
Yes.
So there does need to be a quickening.
Yes.
In the way. Another thing at some level that's taking place.
Yes.
But I feel that kind of in a short curve, from spirit's perspective, a very tiny, tiny short curve, but from our perspective as a soul incarnate in human form,
yes,
it's a long curve. And the way I feel intuitively is we're really looking at like 100 years going into 200 years going into 500 years, whereby 500 years we're living the reality of the dream that so many like us have of a peaceful, restorative, harmonious, unified consciousness expressed through human beings as soul incarnates on this earth.
We're a star culture.
Yeah, but you see, we're dealing with so much more, because it's so interesting, I think, having studied psychotherapy the way I did, is that in understanding the human being, it also gives such a clear understanding of the collective as a personality and soul. And if we look at an individual human being, we are able to fulfill our purpose, the reason we've come here beyond clearing our own things. Yes. We are fulfilling a purpose.
Yes.
So we fulfill that purpose the more we have cleared our historical wounds. It's not just our own historical psychological wounds that is essential to clear.
Yes.
And dissolve and transcend, but it's also the wounds of the ancestors. It's what we're carrying from the past. And if we look, and I talk about this in my new book, which incidentally I've renamed, and I'll give you an exclusive here, Robert.
Thank you.
The new name for it is The Age of Conscious Evolution.
Yes, it is.
And in that book, I took one of the chapters is the epigenetics of conscious evolution.
Yes.
And the role of epigenetics in conscious evolution. And that came about, that chapter. It's a very important chapter, because somebody I'd been working with said to me, this was about 4 years ago, that they'd watched this YouTube interview of these two like big names. I don't know who they were, I didn't ask, but these two big names. And an audience member had, or a viewing member had, I think it was live, had put this question in about consumerism.
Hmm.
And where did they think consumerism came from? You know, what was its purpose?
Right.
And I don't know what their answers were, but the client said to me, I wished that you'd been in that conversation, because I would have been really curious to hear what you would have said and how that would have been taken on. And I sat and I thought after that call, I thought, well, what is my take on that?
Yeah.
And it kind of became quite clear to me personally. I'm sorry, I forgot to put my phone on silent.
It's okay.
it became clear, because I thought, well, you know, it's kind of like, again, in psychosynthesis, we talk about identifying in order to disidentify. So in order to really heal something, it's almost like taking one step back into it to really identify with it, really to then be able to fully step out of it.
Sure, sure.
I had that sense about consumerism. I thought everything that happens in this world happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Because we go to focal vision again, and we know that sort of a higher visionary perspective, everything is exactly as it's meant to be.
It is.
I think we are living in a time, and I really feel this strongly now, where part of that maturation process of collective society is to take responsibility, which is something an adolescent learns.
Yeah.
Your journey from 18 to 21 is you suddenly find yourself in situations where you need to take responsibility, whether it's to get from A to B and your parents aren't taking you,
sure,
or bank accounts, jobs, job interviews, you know, washing your own clothes, preparing your own food, finding somewhere to go. All these maturational type initiations.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that as a global collective, we are on that threshold now of this very important 3 years, but I don't mean 3 years now time.
Right.
As in time, I just mean as an analogy, that those years between 18 and 21 that are so important in the maturation process, right. And I feel we're 18 years of age now. And part of that absolutely is recognizing and realizing and acknowledging that we need to start taking responsibility.
Yes.
On maps, responsibility, our ability to respond to what's going on out there. So with the bifocal vision of the consumerism,
right,
I can see in the reality, it's a major issue at a human level. But if I look at the overview, I ask, well, why does consumerism exist? And where that took me, I went into some really deep meditations on that one. And where I went, and it's only my perspective,
of,
you know,
course.
It's not, as Gandhi said, a truth is a truth, but not necessarily the truth.
I tell
but
you.
He also said it's a minority of one.
Yeah.
So it's the truth right now. And that was this sense that if you look at history, especially going back 2,000 years, but way beyond that, we've always had, as a human race, this power over dynamic. There's always been the warlords, or there's always been the tribal elders that made the decisions. And I'm talking about the not the wise indigenous
Certainly.
Culture.
Yeah.
The ones that were really warring.
Sure.
You've had the places like Egypt with all the slavery. In fact, the slavery that's gone on throughout time, Rome, Egypt, China, everywhere.
Yeah.
You've always had this kind of split,
right.
This divide between the ones that have the power over and the ones who are, you know, the meek and downtrodden.
Yes.
And if we go back, and I cite in the manuscript about the Victorian times, and there was this program that was aired on British TV called The Victorian Slum, and it was incredibly telling. Mm. It really pulled no punches, and it really showed the horror of life.
Yes.
And we can go all the way back in time and we can see the horror of life for, let's say, the people, in quotes. So my sense is with consumerism, we look at the horror of the history that's gone before, the ancestor story, that stories that run in our veins, their suffering, their deprivation, their poverty, their dis-ease, all these horror stories they had to endure.
Yes.
And then one wonders, well, why are we now living in an instant gratification society, a consumerist society? And again, I come back to this identifying in order to disidentify. It's almost like we're hardwired in our epigenetics, our DNA, to never ever have to experience that again, not to that degree of total suffering. So part of the evolutionary trajectory has been to then move into a time where everything's available. You know, most people have a roof over their heads. Most people have a meal on the table. Not everyone, but most people, and certainly in the Western culture, there are places you can go. You know, even if you're living on the streets, there's shelters you can go to and you can get a hot meal, etc., etc. It's still not ideal in any way, shape or form. But I know that the horror stories of suffering that went before, they don't happen in the same way that they happened, even though there's other horror stories to replace them.
There are those.
But we go through this time of consumerism. Yeah. And even now, I can feel the rumblings of awakening. You know, you go down the average high street and you will be able to get green juices. The average high street, you will be able to get smoothies. You can buy organic in supermarkets. They are selling products that are kind to the environment.
Yes,
it's slowly bleeding through. I don't go to bars and restaurants or anything like that, but I know that in these places, there's effigies of Buddha and effigies of Krishna and, you know, all manner of spiritual effigies.
Yes, yeah.
So it's infiltrating, but this thing, at the moment in mainstream society, it's fashion.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay that it's fashion, because still the transmission of the imagery is moving its way into the psyche. And it's beginning to fill into the being. So my feeling is that we have this, just to round up with what I'm saying here, Robert, we have this curve that we're on. And as I see it, it's a 100-year curve. And then that 100-year curve moves into a 200-year curve. And that 100-year curve into 100 years in total from now to then. And there we are. You know, we are living in the golden age. The golden age, the return of the golden age. It doesn't happen overnight. And I think that's something we all have to really remember, that we are championing that, but we are kind of the forerunners, we're the scouts, and many of us will come back and carry on.
Well, you know, eloquent as always, eloquent as always. And you know, the precision of the observation is just so heartwarming to hear, and the ability to articulate it. And so the hearing side of this, going from the listening to the hearing to the feeling, to the being of that process, do you see this arc of the trajectory being a natural evolutionary process on its own, or do you see stimulus such as auditory uptake by what you said, that we were playing this on a radio station in Indiana in the United States? And for some reason, there's an energy inherent to this transmission that is attractive to people of a total different genre of psychic energy. So, you know, that's what I'm looking at, short time moves and the elevation of hearing to the embodiment, and then obviously the enactment of the possibilities of a positive future. So that's what I'm hoping for in a short time. And I believe it's absolutely possible. I believe in the magic of it. I believe in your message and the energy and your insight that you bring to this. And I also want to find a way that it can be disseminated and heard heartfully by as many people as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's I again, in the new manuscript, I'm waiting to announce news on that any moment now. But even down to things like extinction, you know, extinction is one of the new buzzwords. And it's a big word now, and people have really taken it on. And again, the bifocal vision for me is in here and now. It's alarming. And when I look at the overall perspective, I see, okay, this is part of the curve that's happening. Because in the book, I share for the first time publicly, I'm mindful about the word that I use when I say channeling. But it was an enormous outpouring of information that came through me and from me in 2006. And it was the whole setting out of the new earth. I called it New Earth, Future Earth. Originally, I called it New Earth, Future Earth Channeling. But anyway, I've included this in the book. I've actually really pushed to the beyond the boundaries of this book about what I've actually shared from a metaphysical perspective, as well as, you know, it's the original title of the book was Love, God, and Everything, Messages from the Heart of the Cosmos and the New Paradigm Reality.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's messages, like metaphysical messages that are so clear that I wanted to share finally.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, I didn't want it just to be the balloon up there. I also wanted a book that was really grounded in the here and now reality, bifocal vision again. Yeah. But one of the things I share in that book, in the manuscript, is this channeling. And it really is a complete vision of the new earth, new world, new global society, how it operates and so forth.
Perfect.
And one of the things it covers is about animals, and animals on new earth, I called that. And these animals are, you know, herbivores. They're learning new evolutionary skills, as it were, in terms of communication. And they are no longer afraid of human beings in that world reality, which exists already. And I'll say a little bit about that in a moment. And so when I look from the bifocal vision around about extinction, it alarms me at a human level, because I'm in this human body. I have emotions, I have feelings, I have thoughts, and I experience those.
There
and
you
I
go.
Don't deny them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have the ability to have to myself, well, look, you know, maybe some of those species that are leaving, and it's sad that most of them are leaving because they've been hunted to extinction or something has happened that's destroyed their habitat. But I also wonder about the soul of those beings, and if they too are aligning with an enormously changing time. You know, we are in a enormously changing time right now. Our world is changing. Everything is changing. The world is changing. Consciousness is changing. Everything is changing. And are the animals at some level, those that are leaving, those that will leave actually in this 500-year curve, leaving because part of their evolutionary journey go on to the next level of experience?
Yes.
So in this new earth, future earth channeling, basically, I sat down one day just to give you an idea of where it came from. Somebody asked me a question. They said to me, it was actually somebody that it was like a, I don't know, I think she must have been an oracle type lady. And she was very, very, very well known. And she said to me, you're from the future. And I already had this sense anyway. I thought it was very interesting she picked it up. And she said, you've come here, as many of you have, to sow the seeds, the template, to kind of anchor the template. Yeah. And so when I sat down, she asked me, this woman said to me, she sent me an email off. She said, Nicole, she said, I haven't actually come across anyone from the future before. She said, would you be willing to just write something telling me what's the future like? What's the future world like?
Yeah.
Where you're from. And I thought, okay, it's an interesting question. So I sat with it and I really sort of just I spent a few days just feeling of where am I from and what is it like where I'm from when I'm in a form, because obviously where I'm from in the future is not where I'm from.
Right.
It's way beyond.
Yeah.
And it just came through in about an hour.
Wow.
Everything I've put on pages and pages and pages. Things I wasn't anticipating writing.
Right.
Everything about society.
Yeah.
And so that's as well. Anyway, I've mentioned it because it was about the whole thing around extinction, that I think with everything that's happening, if we hold bifocal vision, I think we'll be able to steer our way, navigate our way through. I think the bifocal vision is the compass, because if we can hold realities, it doesn't mean that we have to be less responsible for what's happening here in our reality. Actually, the opposite. We need to be even more responsible, because then we become the stewards and the co-creators of this new reality that wants to manifest and emerge. But it already exists. People like Boyan Slat, Ocean Cleanup Campaign, I look at him, I know he's from the future. Barbara Marx Hubbard, without any question, was from the future. Greta Thunberg is from the future, regardless of the question marks around the machine that's driving behind her. She herself is pure.
Yes. You know,
and she's still getting a message out there. She's from the future too. So there are thousands of beings here.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah.
And so I think it's bifocal vision for me that's really important, because otherwise one has to be very careful. We say, oh, well, you know, it's all taken care of anyway. It's all part of the big spiritual blueprint. So, you know, we can just carry on, let everything go on. We won't make the future world. We won't manifest it, because the remit, the spiritual remit from our beloveds in the higher dimensions is you can create the world you've always dreamed of, but you have to do it. You have to take responsibility for what is working in your current world, what isn't working in your current world. And you need to feel into and vision, what does a beautiful, restorative, sustainable, harmonious, unified reality look like? And then you work towards creating that, which means you have to take responsibility. You have to be response able. So it's not for us to be sitting around. I mean, I just want to say this, Robert, and then I'll hand the talking stick back to you, because I don't want to overtalk, and I know I am. But I wanted to say to you that I wanted to be on this call today on Ethernet, because I've also had a big realization. I don't want to participate. I no longer wish to participate in any kind of video, whether it's what it's being videoed, unless I'm plugged into Ethernet and ideally wired and wired. So I'm wired from the server to the house, and then from the house to the computer, it's wired. Because wired is safe, wireless is totally unsafe. So what I don't want to be doing, if we're walking the talk of what we're here for,
sure,
the messages we're giving, I do not want to be sitting being interviewed on video on wireless.
Yes.
Because what happens is every being in the house, plant, pet, person, is harmed when you have wireless on in the house.
Yes.
And if you have wireless coming from the outside of the house and wireless in the house, you're harming the environment, the bees, the birds, nature. So it's a call as well that we have to walk our talk.
Yes.
There is no point going on to major conference calls about counter 5G and how do we stop it and look how awful this is if we're putting on our mobile phones connected to wireless, participating in destroying the earth. And one person can say, well, it's just me. I'm on my phone. I'm having to watch this video or be videoed on the phone because this is the only place I can do it right now.
Yes.
It's okay. But it's not when there's 7.5 billion people on the planet, and in fact, 2.71 billion mobile smartphone users at the moment. 2.71 billion.
Of course.
Then you realize,
of course,
depending on how many of those people are on wireless, you realize how much that is damaging the ecosystem, the earth, ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's in so many stratas that occurs, the food system as well, and what people self-inflict upon and what's inflicted upon them. So it is time. It is time. And I was going to ask you, you know, if you had anything to close with in reference, and your last, statement was so beautiful and so full in reference to articulating your position. But if there's anything else you would like to say at this point in time, please do. And for all of our listeners, all the information on Nicola Christie will be on our site, and I will be passing that information along as well on a blog. So thank you, everyone. And Nicola.
Thank you, Robert. So I think how I'd like to finish is to say that World Shift Movement evolved into worldshift.earth. We're very, very young. We're only 3.5 months old right now. There's very big plans. So anybody that's interested, please watch this space. Please go to worldshift.earth. That's the website address, full stop. And anybody that would like to become involved, then please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. And I think my closing message to people who may be watching this is, please, if you can, buy yourself a 75-foot Ethernet cable, plug it into the back of your router, turn your router off. Really, really support your own health, the people you live with, and the environment too. And I think the final thing would be, let me just feel into it. Yeah, I have to say, even in the light of everything that's going on out there, I feel very positive. And I feel if we can all recognize that there is a major shift occurring. And the classic line from the Jimi Hendrix song, which I love so much because it just sums it up, is there is a massive shift from the love of power, living in a paradigm that was run, because I'm already out of that one, was run by the love of power, to moving into a new age of conscious evolution, a new paradigm that is run by the power of love. But we have to make that happen. And I just would say to everyone, anything you can do, whether it's recycling, stopping to use single-use plastics, the whole Ethernet scenario, everything we know that we can do, then let's do it. Let's do it together. And World Shift's first major campaign, which I'm hoping is going to launch in January, is going to be a massive invitation to that. So please watch this space. And thank you, Robert, for inviting me and for your enthusiasm and wisdom.
Well, thank you. It's my honor, and I'm just thankful so much for the connection. So till next time, you know, blessings. Nicola Christie, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.